This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Well, European competition is over until February. The EPL stops for no better, though, as many as four more games to squeeze in for some clubs between now and the end of the month. This is Betting Weekly Premier League Show. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, alongside me, Nigel Seeley and Jack Wright. Nigel, match day six of the Champions League, Europa League, Conference League and so on consigned to the form book. Less to consider now for bettors. Does it get easier? Should it get easier for players over the course of the next few months?
Morning, guys. Well, it should get easier in principle, but we're having not the best of seasons. So anything we're saying at the moment isn't going to the form. But if you look back through the trends, you would think this is the time of the year once you get into January, sort of early part of the season, when people go again in the transfer market, you see the teams that have got, not necessarily just in the Premier League, but in the across of all of English soccer and also in European football as well. You know, you tend to find the teams that have got the biggest squads, and usually this time around, the form usually does rise to the top. The cream does rise to the top there. But I think, yeah, it does, in principle, should get easier. But this season has been a very, very tricky one. Not only for us, we were just speaking off air. There's a lot of handicappers out there in the Premier League who are finding it very difficult this time around. And yeah, I think it should do. Fingers crossed, but this season is not proven the way it has been in past at the moment.
In terms of the Champions League, Jack, we've got two of the EPL clubs through to the knockout stages. I mean, how will it affect those teams? And from a betting point of view, are we looking to fade Newcastle and Manchester United? Are we looking to get with Manchester City and Arsenal? Or does it not make any difference when you're assessing games?
I think Man City and Arsenal, we expected them to progress through anyway. We've expected them to be challenging for the title. So everything pretty much has gone to plan. The odd slip up here and there, but that's the course of the season. You expect that sort of stuff. As far as the other two are concerned, I think Newcastle is a massive benefit as far as their league form is concerned. Whether the powers that be will deem that a benefit for Eddie Howe or not, time is going to tell. Of course, they've got January coming up. You'd expect them to be big players in that particular window. See who they'll bring in. They'll need some support. Of course, I think I'll let the dust settle on them. Those injuries are starting to get a little bit better. They're starting to come back into the squad now. So I think I'll let the dust settle for a couple of weeks. But they'll be a team that I think with only the league to concentrate on will be one to certainly keep an eye on. Similar as we assumed Tottenham and Chelsea over the start of the season. The fact they haven't got those games now coming up will be a positive for them. Then as far as Man United are concerned, it's a shambles, isn't it? They're a lot of packet of rebels as far as you don't know what you're going to get from them at all, really. So they've got a lot of work to do on and off the pitch before you can put much faith in them. So I'll be fading in most circumstances.
Just on Newcastle very briefly, because we've not picked a bet in Newcastle's weekend game, Nigel, but they are plus 250 top four. They are minus 190 top six. And as Jack has just been pointing out, no European football. I mean, obviously they could go deep in the FA Cup potentially, but we expect them probably to go into the transfer market to try and get back into the Champions League. Is that a value play? Plus 250 at the minute?
But they need to really shake up the squad, doesn't they? I mean, they're decimated by injuries, and I touched on it when they saw them play Paris Saint-Germain. I thought the following week they might struggle, but they went and won it easily against Manchester United. But this weekend, I mean, that last 15 minutes of that, when Milan scored that second goal, I've never seen a team more deflated for years watching them. Their pitch, their body language was gone. They physically weren't chasing back. I know they were chasing the game, but they never looked like creating a chance, but they were absolutely hanging. And I went on to the BetRivers website initially to oppose them. That was my thought process to oppose them, but they're at home to an informed Fulham as well this weekend as well. But the line, I couldn't get involved. It was minus 121 for Newcastle to win that. You know, 2 weeks ago, what price would a Newcastle have been? Minus 250, minus 225, minus 121. You would probably make a case for Newcastle to actually win the match rather than to oppose them. So I was looking straight away to oppose them, but on the odds, I couldn't play. But Newcastle, I think, he's just got to get to that transfer window. I think you'll see a lot of people coming from the Saudi league. You know, Benzema maybe potentially, but where they need help really is defensively, and they need help in that midfield area where their bodies are running light. Up front, they've got goals in them. So, but I've literally, that was on my mind straight away. Let's suppose Newcastle, but when I went and saw the price, I thought I can't play them at that price.
Yeah, plenty factored in, it would appear, when it comes to Newcastle. And that sort of thing we'd have to worry about with Newcastle when it comes to European football from here on in. Let's get into the plays for this weekend, shall we? We're going to start with the champions, Man City, very short against Crystal Palace at home. This is 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, minus 625 City. Palace are plus 1,700, the draw plus 700. Scrambled over the line, Nigel, against Luton. Much changed in Belgrade against Red Star, but two wins from their last two. Back on track, maybe they're minus 112 for the title. Does that feel about right, first of all, in terms of the title race?
Yeah, I think it does in terms of the tradition. And, you know, they're the champions' biggest squad, and we know what they do in second halves of season. Would I bet them at minus 112? Certainly wouldn't. I mean, I've been saying that for a bit of a while. I still think Liverpool potentially offer the value in the market. I also think Aston Villa potentially value in the market as well now. I still don't really rate Arsenal. There's something about Arsenal, I just not really getting them to win the title. But the Man City price, you can't disagree with it, because they are the champions. They've seen it and done it, and we know what they do. They put their foot on the gas pedal and just accelerate. This match here, I think, is a very interesting one here. It really is. I mean, you say they were rather fortunate against Luton, but they dominated the match. You know, they should never have gone 1-0 down, should they, at halftime just before the break? It was a bad time. But then they scored two goals in 3 minutes. Should have scored a third as well. It was disallowed. All the goal XG was way, way up towards three. So they should have probably scored a third goal. Should have probably won by more than that. And we're seeing already this season that Luton are a very, very tough side at home to play. You know, we've seen them, Liverpool have problems against them. We saw Arsenal leaving it really late. So when you look at it, a 2-1 win at Luton without Haaland, it's not really a bad result. And I look at the price really for that match. This time last week, I bet Man City -2 on exactly the same market I'm going to predict here. So the bet I'm going to give here is Manchester City -2 on the Asian handicap against Palace at minus 124. Now, they're at home. The price was more or less exactly the same as this when they were last week away at Luton. And you would arguably say the trip to Luton was a tougher ask than what they're going to face here. But it all is about Haaland, isn't it? If Haaland plays, that line I would expect to rise to about minus $2. If Haaland doesn't play, I reckon it'd probably be about even money. But I think the market's got carried away with Haaland and Man City rather than Crystal Palace. This Crystal Palace side, talking about teams that are decimated by injuries, they are down to their bare bones. I'm actually going to the Crystal Palace Christmas lunch as well, recording here earlier. And they've asked me if I could bring me boots, because that's how bad they are. That's how desperate they are. They're desperate. So they lost four players in how unlucky, how much they put into that match against Liverpool in their last game. So losing it the way they did, you know, it was a shocking penalty decision in that match. And they're down to their, they lost four players in that, but crucially, they lost their goalkeeper. Now, the strong department for Crystal Palace this season has been their goalkeeper, or the start of the season, Henderson and Johnson, two England international goalkeepers. Both of them are gone. And now they've got Remy Matthews in, who was playing for St. Johnson. I mean, this is a big, and he's just making his Premier League debut. He played for the last 15 minutes against Liverpool. He conceded a goal, which I watched it again. I thought he was a little bit at fault with positioning on it. He conceded another goal, which was disallowed for VAR. Diaz scored, I think it was Diaz, and it was disallowed for VAR. But he had a baptism of fire in the 15 minutes he came on. And now he's got to go to the Etihad and play his first Premier League start up against a real hungry and determined Manchester City. So with or without Haaland, I think Man City cover the handicap here. The other reason I like them is the last match before they jet off to the FIFA World Club. So what they want to do is they want to make a statement. I think Man City have got a statement winning them coming up. You know, everyone's been critical of them over the last month or so since they that draw against Chelsea, and they haven't looked the same. But I think they're going to put a number past someone very, very quickly. And I think patched up Crystal Palace, a goalkeeper making his debut, with or without Haaland, I think Man City could do a real number on Crystal Palace here. And I'm going to go for Man City -2 and -124.
What time does the party start today?
I've got to be there at 12.
Okay, what time?
Actually,
what?
2 o'clock lunch, but 12 o'clock in the pub. 12:30.
What time does the podcast and the show come out today for Bet Rivers? After the party.
Yeah, after the party.
Yeah, it's a good job as well, isn't it? Just very, very, very quick.
I've got cold. It feels like I've been to the party already, but I'm full of cold. That's why I'm banged up.
Jack, very quickly, -112 Man City, about right for you as well.
Yeah, same as Nigel, really. The right kind of price, we expect that, but not a price I'd want to be putting my money on.
Let's get to Bournemouth-Luton, which is Jack's first play of the weekend, again, 10 a.m. Saturday. I mean, I can't believe any others. I mean, we've talked about Areola losing his job a few months ago, Jack. I mean, it's been an unbelievable turnaround. And if you got on this early, you're massively in profit, plus 9 points up from the last five games. I mean, am I misremembering this, or were we almost chucking Areola out the door and thinking he was a value play to get sacked?
Well, I think we talked to that every single week for about 4 or 5 weeks, expecting him to go. And you've got to say fair play, I guess, to the owners and the decision makers at Bournemouth that they did keep faith with him. They obviously trusted the process, helped, I would imagine, by the fact that there was three sides that were kind of marooned underneath them in the league table, which gave them a little bit of wiggle room. They assumed that they'd be able to get out of it. And if it didn't work out, they'd still have the capabilities to kind of claw that back. But absolutely, he looked like a dead man walking, didn't he, for several weeks. And so as far as like match day 11, he went and played. We then talked about Manchester City. He went to Manchester City, got stuffed 6-1. And thought, well, that's got to be the kind of final nail in the coffin for him, but survived it. And since then, it's been an incredible turnaround. So you're right. If anyone got on that particular one, I'll tell you what, they've just been dumped 6-1 by Man City. Let's start backing them to win. Then, you know, well, fair play. You've been cruising. But yeah. Nope.
I was going to say, and you're not just backing them to win this weekend at home to Luton. They're -210 here with Luton +575, the draw +350. But suddenly, and no one would have thought this at the start of the season or a few months ago, we're playing them, giving a goal away on the Asian, Jack.
I know. Well, -1, yeah, -1 Asian handicap for Bournemouth in this one. Odds -120. And you're right. Said to me a few weeks ago that I was going to be playing this bet. I'd have thought, no, that can't be true. Can't be true. But absolutely turned it around after that Manchester City game. The five games since then, 1-4, drawn 1. No side has picked up more points over that period of time. They beat in Newcastle. I think that was the real confidence booster for them. Yes, they played Newcastle at the right time because of all those injuries, but I think that was the boost that they needed to say, well, we can actually go and win games. Then beat Sheffield United, beat Crystal Palace, beat Man United, convincingly destroyed them last week, to be fair, at Old Trafford. And they got a draw with Villa in that run as well. So that, I think, is another one that said that's a decent result. But looking underneath that side of things, the actual underground data is absolutely superb. Both ends of the field, 12 goals scored over those five games. Only Fulham, there you go, talk about madness. Only Fulham has scored more than them over those games, and that's off the back of two successive 5-0 victories, of course, by Fulham. But the XG is the better of anyone else in the league over the five-game period. Defensively, they've only conceded 3 goals. That's the best of anyone in the league over that form run. So really good stuff. Iriola's methods are starting to click. You can see they're actually playing with confidence now and with that knowing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're landing it. Dominic Solanke as well, 8 goals for him this season. He's a player that's been ready to take off probably for what, 5-6 seasons. He's had, like, you know, spells when he was at Liverpool and Chelsea and looked like he was going to make it, had all the attributes and never quite kicked in, but it's starting to work for him now. Joint fourth top scorer in the league, and they're playing to his strengths, which is superb. And of course, playing Luton here, which is the kind of the reason we're going on. I'm happy to go on the -1 just to confirm that. If Bournemouth win this game, the worst that can happen is that we'll get a refund on a stake. If that's a 1-goal victory, full cash ticket, we need them to win by 2 or more goals. And so they're playing against Luton here, who over that period of time I talked about have got the worst expected goals against. They have played some very tough games. I think they've run over, broken a few mirrors or whatever over the last few weeks, because obviously they've gone and played Arsenal, Man City, thought, well, yeah, well, we can't get worse than that. And then they're running into Bournemouth in the best form of the season. So they conceded the second highest amount of big chances in the league. They've got no clean sheets so far this season. Their data is even worse when you just break it down away from home. Second most shots conceded in the box, most headed attempts at goal, all those kind of things which play into Bournemouth's strengths. Luton have got that in their makeup. So it seems to me a real good, perfect matchup here for Bournemouth to kick on. They can go 10th with a win in this one. I think that will be a real driver for Iraola, who has certainly got them performing how he wants them to. And with Semenyo, look out for him, because Luton's very weak down their left-hand side, and he's a player in good form at the moment as well. So assists, attempts from him as well. They're strong players fit into where Luton's weaknesses are. So that's why I'm going with the minus one Asian handicap.
Just a quick word from Nigel on this one. Plus 1,600 to go down now, Bournemouth. We did talk about them an awful lot. I mean, no one bet them to go down, but it's just incredible how form can turn around, and if bettors are quick to spot it. And in a way, as Jack's pointed out, it was almost that Villa draw, because we all thought that Villa were going to win that game. But that form line has proved so valuable for bettors if they picked up on it quickly.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think many people did that, though, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think they did.
I think it shocked everybody. I said that he was under pressure because he spent so much money, and the players he spent the money on weren't gelling, and now they have. I also think it shows you how a good run at the bottom of the Premier League, it's like two mini leagues, isn't it? You know, over the years, probably not so much this year, because there was a lot of people sort of forcing their way into the top eight or so. But that gap between the bottom three, fourth from bottom, and say 10th in the Premier League, is probably two wins. You can literally win two or three wet games and go up the table by four spots. That's how sort of congested it is down there. It's amazing. I mean, I didn't bet him to get relegated, but I did bet Iraola to be the first manager to lose his job at 16-1. And he went down to favourite at one stage. So it was it's going to be on my gravestone, isn't it? Nigel Seeley got the value but done his money. I think that's going to be.
If you keep getting the value, yeah, it does not matter. I mean, look, it was a good bet at the time that didn't cop. It could have easily copped. It didn't.
Well, we said he was the worst manager ever to be in the wise. Well, one of the worst. I said he was useless. I said that he was the first manager. He shouldn't be managing the Premier League. Now he's the favourite to be the next Man City manager, Barcelona manager, Real Madrid manager, England manager. Yeah. Brazil manager and Spanish manager.
Listen, what do I know? Listen, we'll get him jinxed. He'll go to Old Trafford next, then we won't see him again after 6 months. Let's go Burnley Everton, shall we? Sean Dyche, speaking of managers, I think he's back to Burnley for the first time since he left here, Nigel. I mean, do you look at something like that as a factor at all here? Burnley plus 265, Everton in great form plus 108, draw plus 245, and this is 12:30 Eastern on Saturday. Do we look at managers going back for the first time? Is it a thing?
You're from near Burnley, aren't you? You're not far from Burnley, where you're from.
Well,
have you been back?
Ish. What's Burnley? Not that often. I always enjoy my time at Turf Moor. Anyway, continue.
I'm not surprised that Sean Dyche hasn't been back for over a year. That's right. I've been there once. I haven't been back for 6 years. And that's one of the reasons why I want to bet this bet, because obviously Sean Dyche is going back to the former club. You would expect the former club to raise their game. A lot of Burnley ex-players play for Everton now as well, so that's an incentive for them as well to go there and do a job. But also, I know we use this cliche a lot, it's a tough place to go, but Burnley hasn't been a tough place to go this season. I mean, when they come to, we spoke about the style that company changed to win the way they won the championship. They won the championship, they were much more offensive, much more pleasing on the eye, rather than the style of what the Clarets did under Dyche, where they were much more physical, in your face, you know, long ball tactics, that kind of stuff. But it worked. It kept Burnley in the Premier League. Now that companies changed it, they ran away with the championship last season. They come to the Premier League. They started trying to do the same. They're trying to do it at home to Tottenham. They get beat 5-2. They try to do it at home to Chelsea, got beat 4-1. They needed to make Turf Moor tough and physical and ugly again. And in the last couple of weeks, that is what they've changed it a little bit. If you look at Burnley, they're not so on the front foot. They're not so looking to do a little bit more. And they may have to change it a little bit to keep them in the Premier League. Their last two matches have been gritty 1-0 defeats against Wolves. You know, when they went there, didn't really offer much from an attacking thoughts, but Wolves won it 1-0, edged it. And then they played really well last week against Brighton to draw 1-1. But I think they have to make it now really tough. And they've got a couple of matches, Burnley. They play just before Christmas. They play this one here against Everton. Then they go to Fulham, which a week ago or 2 weeks ago, you would have thought would have been a tough match, quite a winnable match, but now it's a tough match. After that, they have Liverpool, Aston Villa, Tottenham, and Manchester City. So Burnley have got to really try to get something in this match. It's a huge, huge game. Everton, on the flip side, You know, they'd be safe and sound if it wasn't for this 10-point deduction. They seem to have galvanized themselves after that 10-point deduction. Their performances are getting better and better. But I just think here, this is a match where I think it's going to revert back to being quite ugly for Burnley. I think Dyche will come here. I think Dyche will pay his former club respect. And I think there may be a draw. I'm looking at maybe, I think the draw here, potentially a half-time draw. I think it'd be quite tight in the first half. And I can't help myself. I know there's been a trend of these overs, but I have to bring an under in here. And I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals here at minus 120. I think if you looked at this matchup at this time of year, last season, I think you might have been looking at about minus 155, minus 160. Now it's minus 120. I can see certain changes in Burnley, the way that they have to. They can't go toe-to-toe with these clubs because they're being found out. They need to be gritty. They need to be patient. And they need to make Turf Moor tough place to go. And I think the reception Dyche will get will be mixed by the supporters. I think it'll be a tough afternoon. And I think this will be a very, very close match. And I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals here at minus 120. The last two, like I say, under 2.5 goals in the last two Burnley matches. And in Everton matches, three of the last four, both teams have failed to score. So Everton are very good defensively, you know. They're good. Their centre-half partnership is very, very strong. Tarkowski going back there, McNeil going back there as well. There's a lot of history here. And I think this will be a very close game and under 2.5 goals here, minus 120.
Half-time draw, incidentally, plus 123 if you fancy that, as Nigel just mentioned. But we like unders in the game at Turf Moor. Let's get to Emirates. This is a Sunday game, 9 a.m. Arsenal against Brighton. Arsenal minus 220. Brighton plus 600 here. Arsenal drew with PSV in midweek in Eindhoven. Not that it really mattered for the Champions League group situation. They lost to Villa prior to that. I'll ask Nigel first. You've sort of already answered this question, but I'll ask you again. Are they the most likely title challengers to City quickly, plus 300?
No. I'd actually rather take Arsenal to win the Champions League than win the league. I would.
We've got the draw on Monday. We'll have a reaction show after that, or at least a podcast after that.
I mean,
because
they've won the group, that the teams who are coming second, in, apart from Paris Saint-Germain, I think everyone else, you'd fancy them. I think Paris Saint-Germain and Inter Milan would probably be the two that you wouldn't want to face. But I think anybody else, you'd be in there. Now, Arsenal never used to win the group, did they, in the Champions League? And always get in the last 16 and draw Bayern Munich or Barcelona. They've won the group now, so they've got a chance. But I'd rather take them to win the Champions League than I would the Premier League.
Do you know the price for the Champions League? Just look.
I'm guessing around about 7-1.
You're a little bit shorter, 6-1. Yeah, right. 6-1 just tempers it a little bit for me.
I think because it's in London as well, the final.
Yeah. I mean, the draw's going to be interesting. Jack, very quickly on Arsenal title +300, about right. One a bit bigger, shorter Champions League.
I'd love a bit bigger. I'd play it then, but I think possibly about right. They've been solid, haven't they? Three horse race, so it'd be interesting to see who takes what off who. So some interesting fixtures coming up in the new year.
They will go top probably only for a few hours because Liverpool play later. Should they win? Jack, you are playing in this game. Nigel, so are you. We'll go for Jack's selection first of all. This is well-worn when it comes to Brighton, but it's interesting that we've got the Arsenal spin on it as well. Jack, what's your play?
It's both teams to score at minus 134. You say it's well-worn. It's certainly been a very, very well-worn result. We've not really been able to play it, have we? The price has been, unplayable for us to put on the show. It's been unbackable, really, to be fair, hasn't it? But I was surprised that we've actually got the opportunity to play it here. We know goals and Brighton go hand in hand, and I'm going to ride the both teams to score train and hope there's at least another stop in it. 16 out of the last 16. So all the games this season in the Premier League have cashed both teams to score for Brighton. We stretch back into the back end of last season. That run now goes to 20. So 20 out of the last 20 have seen both teams to score. They've scored in their last 32 Premier League games, which is a fantastic record for a side that we knew were data darlings, but didn't really miss too many chances previously. And they've scored in the last 21 away games. So good record against Arsenal as well, as far as that's concerned. So that will hold no fears too. Of course, we record on a Thursday morning. They're playing later on tonight against Marseille in quite a big game. I'm assuming, because of the nature of that one as well, they'll want to top the group. They will do with a win. They'll go pretty strong in that, because that's going to be an incentive as far as they'll not have to play an extra two games if they top the group. But not worried about the result. It's just the fact that they can get on the score sheet. So they scored 8 against Arsenal last season because they played them 3 times. They scored, so across those 3 games, 2 of those games were away from home, so at this venue at the Emirates. So again, like I said, the form on that is strong that they can go and repeat that kind of process. As far as Arsenal are concerned, which is we need them to come to the party as well in both respects, as far as scoring and letting one in, at least one. Both teams are scoring 6 of their 8 home games, which might surprise a few people. They only kept 2 clean sheets. That was against Wolves and Burnley. We've well documented their issues and their problems, so that's not a massive issue as well. Only 3 clean sheets in the last 15 at home in the league. So that, again, is a bit of a worrying statement as far as Arsenal fans are concerned, that they are looking a little bit leaky at the back, more so than people probably expect. But I'll leave a few bits of juice in this for Nigel to squeeze out, because I know he's on a very similar bet.
Yeah, both teams to score, yes, for Jack at -134, looking for 21 on the spin in the Premier League. Nigel, what's your play? Variation on a theme to a certain extent.
Yeah, very similar. I'm going for over 3 goals at +102. Amazed that it's plus money, 3 goals with the push. You could probably go 3.5 if you're a bit more brave, get a bit more juice. 2.5 is very low, but 3 with the push on the Asian on Bet Rivers, I think that's the value here. Pretty much the same kind of stats that Jack had just said there. I mean, 16 from 16, both teams have scored. You know, Brighton have scored in 32 consecutive matches, so you would think they've got the goals in. Last season, they played 3 times. Every single one of them, you would have won or you would have been a push in this bet. You know, one was a 3-0 win for Arsenal, which would have seen the push. Sorry, for Brighton, sorry. Would have been a push. The other 2 would have cashed. If you look at Arsenal this season at home, 8 matches at home, 5 over 3s have cashed, 2 would have pushed, and only 1 would have lost, and that was against Manchester City. And this is a very different proposition to Manchester City. It was a top-of-the-table match, very tight, very close. You know, you wouldn't expect that to be end-to-end like it was at that stage of the season. And if you look at Brighton, 8 matches on the road, 6 of them have won over 3 goals. No pushes and 2 losses. So in the 16 matches between these two sides, you would have on home for Arsenal and away for Brighton, you would have won on the 3-goal market 11 times, and you would have pushed 2 and lost on 3. So it's overwhelming in your favour. When you look at Brighton's stats and how many goals they score, you pretty much given they're going to score. Arsenal concede alarmingly, and they've been getting out of jail late, and they've got spirit. I think Declan Rice has brought in that kind of never give up kind of spirit into Arsenal. You can see it, and 5 minutes to go, they're pushing and pushing and pushing and keeping possession and then scoring late. I think that will run out eventually. I don't think you can concede 3 goals and 2 goals and just rely on goals in the 90th minute. Liverpool look very similar to that as well. I don't think you can sustain that going on. And I've got a feeling here Brighton at a big price could catch Arsenal on a bad day. I think Arsenal are going to get beat by someone in the Premier League, because I think they're riding their luck. I still think the goalie's got mistakes in them. I still think that defence isn't solid. There's goals in them. And again, we talk about some freaky scores again. A 3-2 Brighton win, 4-2 Brighton win, 4-3, something like that again here in this match could be on the cards. But I was very tempted to go with Brighton. But again, I thought the odds didn't really entice me much, even on the Asian handicaps. But I think this is a tough match for Arsenal. I know they're rested. I know that the players have been rested and they didn't put it, but he did put out a fairly strong squad, didn't he? He brought some substitutions on in a pointless match really against Paris, PSV. So, I think this could be a potential banana skin for Arsenal. I think Brighton and them don't. Brighton are the bogey team for them the last couple of seasons.
But not quite tempted with that 1.25 goal start at -124, just a bit too short for you, Nigel.
If you think that Brighton are going to score, which they have done in every single game, that -1.25, you need Arsenal to score 3 for you to lose. All your stake. So it's better to take the 3 goals at plus money, isn't it? Because you know you can.
I
thought the 3 goals was better value. I mean, that market there, if you're going to take the 1.25 goals, and it's very unlikely that Brighton are going to win this 1-0.
It's not going to be a 0-0.
Yeah, I think the best value from my perspective is the over 3 goals with that push at plus money. I think that plus money, when you consider that Brighton have scored in 32 consecutive Premier League matches, every game this season in the Premier League, you would expect them to score again against this Arsenal defence. And I'm going to stick with it, but I wouldn't be surprised. I just might have a small interest on Brighton on the money line, just rather than play the handicap. Just what are they, $6 or something?
Six to one. Yeah, Jack, very quickly before we move on, would you play Brighton at all in any way?
I think the thing that puts him off on that as well is they're playing tonight, so we don't quite know what's going to happen. So it's a leap into the unknown. But you know, looking at their side, looking at their performance, then possibly come tonight, Friday, Saturday, we can reassess it. But we'll see where the prices land. But I think stylistically, this is a great matchup for Brighton because normally they'll have a side a little sit deep and say, well, you have to come and break us down. They know Arsenal will come at them, and that's when Brighton are at their most dangerous, as they proved against Arsenal last season.
All right, one thing on that. On. They've played, I think, 6 matches in the Europa League this season, and they've only lost 1 on the following
off
back.
The back of it.
And that was at Chelsea. They lost 3-2, but they should have probably got something from that match as well.
We've overrun on Arsenal. Thanks very much, Harry and Harry. Liverpool versus Man United. Liverpool are minus 315 now. They were minus 345 when I put this running order together late last night. I don't know if it's just a bit of readjustment. I can't believe it's money for United. But Nigel, you might know this. I looked back, but I couldn't find a shorter price for Liverpool, a bigger price for Manchester United. Pretty much in the Premier League era here. I mean, they were plus 145 Liverpool when they won last season. When they won the title in the 1920 season, they were minus 222 to beat United at Anfield. Minus 315. This is Bob Paisley era. This is when United were awful in the 70s and 80s when Dave Sexton was in charge. I can't remember Liverpool being this short to beat United at home in a league match.
No, it's the minus 345 now. You know,
It could be.
I mean, Manchester United, the $9 to win. I mean, that just shows you the state of Manchester United Football Club. The thing is, I know Jack's bet because he put it in the WhatsApp group here, and I'll kind of have a conversation with Jack after this. But just, I think it's one of them bets that we could all sit around there and go 3.45 Liverpool, $9 Man United, and Man United could win this 2-1, and we'd be thinking $9 Man United. What an opportunity! Yeah. That's my thinking here. I know what Jack's bet is, and I know all the stats he's going to back it up with. But it just looks to me that could be just one of them things you're thinking, how did that Man United...
I mean, in a way, Nigel, look, we were talking about trades on Twitter the other night, and United could be backed here, couldn't they? Because of that, they just could be backed.
Well, I don't want to take away too much of a jacket, but I mean, we reading into the... They didn't play very well in midweek, did they? But then they played against Chelsea and produced one of the best performances that you've seen from Man United under Ten Hag. You really don't know what Manchester United are going to show up. You read reports that he's lost the dressing room, but we don't know. I mean, there's a lot of players there, but he's got a big squad to choose from. And if they perform, they could do something. And if they don't perform in this game, it's whether you believe that the players don't want the manager or they want the manager. If these players don't want the manager, they will not show up for this match, and Liverpool will beat them easy, and he'll be gone on Monday. This is his last chance.
If
they want him and they like him and he makes changes and puts a lot of young kids in who want to play for him, then you might see a brilliant Manchester United performance. It's a bit similar to the old Alex Ferguson against Nottingham Forest, isn't it? In the FA Cup third round match. Unknown Mark Robbins comes on, scores the goal, and the rest is history.
1-0 at City Ground.
He's got that kind of feel about it.
Well, look, United have always got a puncher's chance because they create moments and they've got some good players. But let's get some cold, hard facts, shall we, Jack?
I just feel they're going to get blown away. I'm taking minus 1.5 at minus 125. So, yeah, it's a big handicap. But to be honest, I just feel that this Liverpool side will want to absolutely grind Man United into the dirt at Anfield, a bare pit of a stadium for Man United. This rivalry is probably the fiercest in the Premier League, I would suggest. I think Man U, Man City, Liverpool, Everton, I'd still put this one up above both those games, I think, because of the rivalry over the years and who's the biggest and who's the best and who's winning the most titles. So that's the reason that I'm going there. I looked at the odds this season, and Brentford were a shorter price going to Anfield than Man United.
That's incredible.
Everton were as well. So three sides, and I can't remember the third one, but three sides have gone there, I say, at short odds as far as taking Liverpool on a considerable winning at Liverpool. So I just feel like Liverpool gone top. We've all been ball back to Liverpool pre-season. They've gone top of the table without hitting their A game. But when we look at their home form, it's just formidable. Absolutely sensational. 7 wins from 7 this season. Nigel's right. They did need late goals against Fulham to edge past it. Other than that, they're blown sides away. It's generally been away from home where they've had to kind of dig deep and fight and get some late goals and late action. But at home this season, say 7 wins from 7, 21 goals scored, 5 goals conceded. They've scored 3+ in 6 of those 7. They've won by 2 or more goals in 6 of those 7 as well. They've got the best expected goals at home, and only Villa have outscored them at home as well. 1 defeat in their last 49 at Anfield in the league, won 38 of those, 123 goals scored. 33 goals. I'm going stat heavy here, you can tell. 33 goals conceded. That's an average of winning a game by plus 1.84 goals across a 49-game sample. That's incredible. They've won by 2 or more goals in 26 of those games as well. Salah loves playing against Man United. He scored in the last 6 games against them as well. And he scored in 6 of the 7 games at Anfield this season. So he'll be licking his lips ready to go for this one as well. And United are a shambles. Nigel, again, right. They're another, I used Revels earlier. I don't know if they got them in the States, but they're basically a complete all sorts. You don't know what you're going to get really from one game to the next.
Make your mind up. Is it all sorts or Revels? Make your mind up. Go on.
It's both. And do you know what? They're away from home. They are consistent away from home, especially against the better sides. Awful, atrocious, terrible, shambolic. Last season, they went to the top 9 in the Premier League and got 1 point. That was away at Spurs. This season, they've won some away games. You look at it, they're up in the table and you couldn't quite know, work out how they are. Well, they've taken advantage of the lower sides. Beat Burnley, Sheffield United, Fulham and Everton away from home. But travelled to Tottenham, lost. Arsenal, lost. And Newcastle, lost. 1-0, should have been about 3 or 4. So we look at, go over those 2 seasons now. They're taking 11 games against sides that are in the top 9. And they've won none, drawn 1, lost 10, scored 9, conceded 34. That's an average deficit of minus 2.27 per game. And they've lost more Premier League games against Liverpool than they lost against any other side. That's 19. So lots of more stats to go into. I don't want to bore you too much. I might have done that already. Nigel's already thinking about that beer in a minute or two. But that's the reason.
Who said
why
that?
I'm going...
Who said that?
Yeah. Got that mask on again. But anyway, yeah, -1.5 Asian handicap, -125 the odds.
Yeah,
look, I think that's very brave. I mean, really.
I don't know. Look, yeah, but
I think he's right. I think he's right. I think he's absolutely
all the stats.
Right.
Absolutely all right. The stats.
But
all
I
the stats
think this is a match where those stats go out the window. I think I do. I genuinely do. I mean, it could be a 5-0 defeat and Ten Hag could be going. Or he could get a performance out of it. It's all dependent on the attitude of the Manchester United players, I think. This match,
but what we've seen is they're not good enough.
Yeah. What are you saying? We're not good enough. I mean, everyone's going on about. I mean, they're 6 in the league. They're better. They're punching above their weight on the league position. They're this one. They're ahead of Newcastle, and they're one game. And everyone's talking about Postecoglou being the next big thing. I mean, they're only one win behind him. It's the manner of the defeats there are.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can look. You can spin it a lot of different ways. It's going to be an interesting
awful.
Game.
It's awful, but I think it's an interesting game. One question: Manchester United are the only team in Europe this season, in Spain, Germany, France, Italy, and across all of England, to have one thing. What is it?
Not to have a draw.
Not to have a draw. So, yes. Yeah, the only team not to have a draw in across all the main
plus,
leagues.
Plus 480 for the draw.
Yeah.
Plus 480 for the draw.
Another thing, Jack.
I think that if Liverpool win this match, it will be heavy. I see Jack's point. I can see it 4-5-0. If Man United win it, it's going to be, it'll be heavy again. So I think this is a massive overs. I think this could be a big overs game. I can't see this being 0-0, 1-0 either way. You know, I think it's going to be a blowout. I think Liverpool will want to end his reign, and it's whether they've got any fight in them.
Yeah, we're overrunning on this, but very quickly, if Liverpool win, City, Aston Villa or lose, are Liverpool title favourites, Nigel, there'd be 7 clear of City.
I don't think they'd be title favourites yet. I think City will still hang on to that, but yeah, just the bite.
Best bets then, Nigel, what's your best bet over this Premier League weekend? I'd
probably have to go for the over 3 goals at plus 102 in the Arsenal Brighton match with a push.
Yes, good one. Yeah,
oh,
I like that.
Bloody
one.
Hell, here we go again. This is it. Where's Simeu's number?
Jack, what's your best play?
Just to be completely bullish on this one, I'm going with Liverpool.
At yes.
-1.5. Oh, here we
yes,
go.
Like
the one you don't
one.
Like. The one
like
you don't
one.
Like.
Did I say that I like?
Jack. Jack's got it absolutely spot on there.
Did I say I like them all last week? Anyway.
Yes, you did.
One thing that we should also mention today is a shout out, Nigel, for one of our viewers and listeners who's been with us for a long time, and it's a special birthday for him coming up.
Yeah, it's not only one of our listeners, our number one fan, it's our super fan. It's Joe the Fan on Twitter. If you've ever seen Joe the Fan, he's always very kind with his comments of us and all the handicappers here on Because We Win. His name is Paul Laguna. I've met him a couple of times when I've been stateside, and he's 50 this week, I think it is, and wanted to give him a big shout out from all of us here at Because We Win. Give you a very happy 50th, Paul. Enjoy yourself, mate, and hopefully we can do the business for you to make your weekend memorable, not only with the extra presents and all the stuff you're going to get from the family, but with some extra cash in your pocket after some of these picks we're giving you this weekend across the channel.
Jack.
Happy birthday, Paul. Absolutely very much appreciate your support as well. And as Nigel says, no better birthday present than a double clean sweep from us too, so that you can buy yourself some birthday beers. It's cash and tickets for you, my friend. Have a very happy birthday.
Yeah, happy 50th to you. My 50th is only a couple of years ago, and I know it don't look like it, but I am just about as young as these two. Have a great 50th birthday. I'm sure you will do, and I'm sure the boys will pick some winners for you over the course of this weekend. And yeah, as Nigel was saying, many thanks for sticking with us. Plenty more to come across all of our channels, of course. And I know that you stick with the Premier League show and the European show and all the tennis shows as well. So hopefully you will have a great weekend, and it'll be a very good betting weekend for you as well. Nigel, Jack, thanks for your company. Good luck with your picks. That is a wrap for week 17 of Betting Weekly Premier League show. We're going to be back next week for all the best bets on the EPL card as we move towards the busy Christmas period, and stay across all of the Betting Weekly content via @BecauseWeWin. From all of us for now, though, it is goodbye.